Hey, well, good morning, Fields Church. We're glad that you are here, and hello, Charleston. I mean, we're glad everyone is here. We love that the Fields Church is making an impact in more than one community. So, Charleston, I love having you guys. I know we're not all in the same room today, but we are one church in two different locations. And then there's those watching online. Hello to you guys watching from your homes online. And we're just thankful that God's word can get out and it can get into our lives and it can change us. And that's what we're about, is allowing God to change us. And we want life. We want God to breathe life into us. And I just want to take a moment and say that's exactly what happened last week, where our 1,400 some people came to our five different services, and God just breathed life into them. If you were not able to be with us last week, we have just a quick little recap video. I'd love to just kind of brag on all of our teams and all of you guys who are part of that we had an amazing Easter weekend. So let's just take a moment and kind of celebrate what God's done here at the Fields Church by watching a video about Easter. We love to celebrate Easter in Charleston and Mattoon. So many lives were changed. In fact, after we kind of took your guys' survey and started looking back at how you guys answered the A, B, C, and D, 64 people circled B saying today, that day, they were beginning a new relationship with Jesus. So how awesome is that? I mean, 64 souls, that's 64 people, that's 64 individuals changing the trajectory of their life from to hell to heaven. I mean, that's why we exist, so people can have new life. And thank you guys for being a part of an amazing Easter weekend. And if you served, thank you so much for serving and making a difference. And if you would like to serve, then let us know. We would love to have you on one of our dream teams, because we just would love to have you guys serving any given Sunday. So let us know how you guys could serve around here, and we'd love to get you into that. We're starting a new series today, this weekend, and it's called Arrows. Arrows is really about family, and it's about hitting the target at home. We want to be on target, and we want our aim to be on target when it comes to things like parenting and our marriage and several other areas and aspects of life that you and I, we live every day. We wake up every day, and we have relationships, whether that's our spouse, that's our kids, that's our parents, that's our siblings, that's the people that we do life with. We need to make sure that we are filtering life through God's word, and that we are on target, that we are aiming for what God wants in our life and through our life in the relationships that we have. God has given us some specific instructions on how to do life with the people that matter most. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to open up God's word, and we're going to see what he says to us about doing life with the people around us. And family is important. The people close to us is important. And let me be a little just honest and just like real personal. I just want to say thank you guys. If you guys know, I lost my dad this last week. And just thank you for the support and the prayer. And I've had a lot of time to think about family. God does this to me a lot. When I'm getting ready to speak on a message, it's like real life stories start just flooding into my life. And so literally for the last 2 weeks, I've spent a lot of time with family, and I spent a lot of time with my sister. So siblings, and we spent a lot of time in my parents' house. And I've had time to reflect on this and think about this, and the time with my dad and the time with my mom and the time with our kids. And it just happened to be, you know, I spent 8 nights at my parents' house, sleeping on the couch, me and my sister just kind of taking turns, and we were there for 8 days in a row, and it just happened to be in Mattoon. It was spring break, and so that means our kids didn't have school, and so the kids were over, and we just had a lot of family time in the last, you know, 10, 12 days. And I'm very thankful for those moments. I'm thankful for a church that continued to reach out and support us. I'm thankful for God has given us kind of a gift of time with our entire family that time. And it really helped me kind of process the value of family. I speak from the heart today over these next several weeks. When we share about family, it's because family's important. And we all are at different levels of like how close we are to family members. And I realize that not everyone has the same closeness, and everyone is, you know, not all families are close, but I feel like maybe there's people in the room watching today where you've missed the mark. And you've not hit the bullseye in all these areas. And this is a great time to restring the bow and redraw it back and say, I'm going to aim again. And this time today and this day forward, I can hit the bullseye. And so that's why we're going to teach from God's word on this. I realize that everyone in the room, we at least have one common denominator. We're all here and we're all listening, and we all have a parent somewhere, or we've been parented. We're a child. Some of us in the room, we have children. Some of us in the room, we have siblings that we interact with. Some of us still are interacting closely with grandparents. Grandparents, some of you guys are interacting with grandkids. Some of us are very close to an aunt or an uncle, and we just have these people in our lives. And you all have that one person you can just identify, go, that's the close relative, that's my relative. We all have a relative that we can consider family, and God wants you to have the best relationship with that family, and He wants you to be on target. He wants you to be hitting the bullseye. And so we're going to look at Scripture. We're going to, because of the topics over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking how God has given us all kinds of insight in Scripture, but we're going to be looking throughout Scripture at different portions of Scripture, different writers of the Bible that we'll be pulling from and learning from. But we'll also kind of have what I call a base camp. We'll have a place that we'll land on and say, this is why we're teaching what we're teaching, and this is why it's even called arrows. And it comes from Psalm 127. So there's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 127 was written by Solomon. Now, Solomon only wrote two of the psalms of all of the psalms. Now, the majority of them are written by David. Moses even wrote one. A couple prophets wrote a couple of the others. But we're going to read one that was written by Solomon. And even in God's own voice, He has said that Solomon was the wisest man on the earth. And so we can lean in on this and listen to this and grab great insight from Solomon, because he has so much to offer. So if you have your phones out, you can open up your guide, go to the Fields Guide, and you can actually go to the notes, and you can follow along. If you brought your Bibles today, open it up to Psalm 127. If you don't have your phone or you don't have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen. But we want you to read this with us today. And let's take a look. I'm just going to read the entire Psalm of 127. Let's take a look at it. It says this: unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. First of all, he's saying, listen, without the Lord, doesn't matter what you're building, doesn't matter what you're guarding, doesn't matter what you're doing. Now remember, through the lenses of family, doesn't matter what you're pouring into your family, if the Lord is not the center of everything, he says it's just kind of wasted. It just doesn't do any good. He goes on and says this: it is useless for you to work so hard from early in the morning till late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. We all love rest. We love that. And he says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city's gates. And so Solomon writes this picture story of someone doing life. You and I, we do life all the time, right? And he says, these people, he's writing this picture of like, you got to do life. God has to be the center of your life. And then he starts to talk about children and raising up the kids. This week specifically, If I would have a title, it would be Aiming Our Arrows. We got to be really good at aiming our arrows. We got to be good at knowing who our arrows are, what the arrows are. And what Solomon does and what God has done through Scripture is he's helped us learn important truths through images. And so he uses this idea of arrows. Now, he's done this before. He talked about, you know, hey, you should work hard. He says, be like the ants, you sluggards. You know, make sure you work hard like the ants, for they go and they store up food for the future. So he gives us a picture of like, we got to work hard like the ants. Well, here he's saying, now we got to understand that our kids are like these arrows. Now, he could have just said, kids are important, go raise them. He could have said that. Yeah, just go raise your kids. It's really important to raise your kids. But no. He creates this imagery. This imagery is what gets the imagination going. And now we're like, oh, wow, that's powerful. That's cool. That's amazing. These aren't just kids. These are arrows. And these arrows, they're in the hand of a warrior. And these pictures that God's bringing us, that there's this quiver, this collection of arrows, and those who have this collection of arrows in the quiver, and it brings joy to the heart because you know you're ready and you can go on and you can fight that battle. It's a picture that Solomon says, raising your kids are so important. So let's look at this verse one more time. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is a man whose quiver is full. The imagery here is awesome. It's warlike. It's mission driven. It's getting something accomplished. Our kids are the arrows and we are the warrior's hand in a quiver full of these kids. The family that we raise up, God says it is so important. So if it's that important, then we better have a philosophy of bullseye parenting. We gotta be on target. We gotta make sure that everything we do, we're going right for the middle. We gotta hit what God wants us to hit. And with bullseye parenting, I want us to look at three ways that we can really understand our arrows. That's what we're gonna do today, is really dive deep into, okay, these arrows that God's given us, these kids, raising up these kids and parenting these kids. Let's understand our arrows. And there's three different ways that we can understand this. Is number one is children are blessings, not burdens. And no matter where you're at in the stage of parenting or grandparenting, some of us will say more blessing than burden. I want us to get today, they're blessings. Don't label them as burdens. I'm not saying that it's not difficult, but I'm saying that we need to know that they are a blessing. This is what Solomon writes. He says, children are a gift. All good things from God is this gift. He says that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. They're a reward. They're a gift. Too many times we sometimes look at the kids and the busyness and the problems and what they're bringing into our lives and we think it's so difficult. I mean, parenting's hard. Come on, now you know that. It's like herding cats, but with DCFS watching at the same time to make sure we're doing a good job. Like people are watching us and we're at Walmart and you're at the grocery store and they're having a meltdown and they're crying and you're trying to push a cart and grab things and they're throwing things out and everything's falling apart. And you're like, parenting can be hard. My oldest son, Dakota, he turns 16 in just a few days, in about a week. And I remember 16 years ago when he was born. And I remember when he was born and we had to take him home. And it's the first reality that when they give you this kid and then they help you put him in the car, but it's the first time you realize that the nurses that have been with you for 48 hours, they're not going home with you. And you're in the car, and I was sitting in our car, and Dakota's in the back of the car all strapped in, and Joy is in the back of the car too. She's not even riding shotgun anymore, and I'm driving home 10 miles under the speed limit, white knuckling it, and we get to a red light, and I slow down, and I stop, and then it turns green, and I pause, and I look both ways about 5 times to make sure nobody's coming, and then I creep into the intersection to drive home, because I'm like bringing precious cargo home, and I'm scared to death, and we're going home for the first time, and I just remember that, and it's, you know, and then all of a sudden they begin to grow. These kids grow, and they begin to eat more. They begin to poop more. They begin to move more, and the next thing you know, that they're crawling, and then they're walking, and then they're running, and then they realize they can take off their clothes on their own and still run, and now you've got naked kids running around, and you're trying to stop them in case somebody comes over, and then they know to get into the backyard, and now they're taking their clothes off and running in the neighborhood or running through the yard, and you've got a naked kid running, and you're chasing, and you're doing all this, and you're trying to you get their clothes back on, and you clean up the yard, and then you clean up the house, and it's time to put them down, and you just collapse into bed, and all you can think about was you were chasing this naked kid around the backyard all day, and you remember the day that you used to, you know, be excited to get naked. Now you're just too tired. You're like, I don't got time for this. I am tired. Parenting is hard. These kids are hard, but they're not a burden. Parenting can be burdensome, but your kids aren't the burden. Like, let's understand that today. Your kids aren't a burden. Now, when I was a teenager, I probably was a little bit of a burden. I remember giving my, like, I had a lot of friends that came to the house a lot. And we had a pool in the backyard, and people hung out at our house all the time. And I remember one vivid experience of me and my friend Joe. We are wrestling in the house, but we are wrestling in a hallway. And a hallway is only, you know, 5-6 feet wide, and he's throwing me up against the wall, and then I'm throwing him up against the wall, and I throw him up against the wall, and he throws me up against the wall, and back and forth, he throws me up against the wall, and the next thing you know, my butt goes all the way through the wall, drywall, everything just caves in. And this is like 30 minutes before 5 o'clock. So my parents are home in like 30 minutes. And all of a sudden my friends are like, oh, I gotta go. And everyone leaves. And I remember my dad coming home, and I had to tell him. And so I was like, Dad, I pulled out the vacuum from the closet, and I put it in the hallway, and I said, I know we had some friends over today, but I was vacuuming and we were kind of horse around, and I tripped on the vacuum and I fell into the wall. He didn't believe it. But he didn't say he didn't believe it. He just didn't talk. That was worse. That was the worst thing ever. He went out in the garage and just stayed there for most of the evening. And I knew I am dead. I am dead in the water. I am in so much trouble. And I just knew this is not good, because when Dad comes home and he won't say anything, things aren't good. And I am sure that there were several times in my life that raising me was burdensome. But I can tell you this, because I know this from the last week, that it wasn't a burden for me, my sister, and the grandkids to just be right by my dad's side in his last days. We were a blessing. And he would have said it. And my mom was like so thankful for the kids and everyone that was there. The blessing of being together, the blessing of being around, the blessing of kids and grandkids. Kids are a blessing, not a burden. They're a blessing. Don't miss cherishing the blessings because you're tired of carrying some of the burdens. You're going to have to carry some burdens of parenting. But do not miss out on cherishing the blessings that come with the kids. Your kids are a gift from God, Solomon says. They are a reward. We gotta remember that. The second thing I think we could learn today is there's a lot of different arrows, but there's only one target. There's only one target. You see, when we look at our kids and we look at the kids around us, they are unique. They are different. I have three boys, Dakota and Riley and Cooper, and they are different, different sizes, different personalities, different passions, different, you know, grades at school, different skills, different abilities, different everything. Me and my sister, I just kind of spent so much time with, we're different. We have a lot, some similarities, but there's just so many things that are different about us. When you think about arrows, it's really interesting. If you think about, here's a quiver, and then you have these arrows. And arrows can be very different. These particular ones, there's one that's for hunting, and it's got a broad blade on it, and it's prepared for hunting. And if you look at the end of this, it's got actual real type of feathers. And then some of these are plastic, and they're more for target shooting. Some of these points are extremely sharp, and some of these are very dull. Some of these are made to be a composite for a different, stronger bow, and some of these are made out of wood that could be for a bow that's a wooden bow. And if you would go to a store and begin to buy arrows, and you could talk to them about, you know, what kind of arrows are the best arrows, they're going to say, well, what are you trying to get accomplished? And, you know, there's, you know, when it comes down to it, the reason there's so many arrows at the store is because there's so many people making these arrows, and they're saying, my arrow's the best. But if you're a hunter, I mean, the end of the game is you want your arrow to hit your target. And there's some people out there saying, well, if you would buy my arrow and use my arrow, well, then the deer are just going to bow down in front of you and surrender and say, oh, I don't even have to run. You don't even have to use your arrow. I don't have a chance. But no, these arrows, they're all uniquely different, and they have a little different, you know, you can order any kind of arrow you need to order. But at the end of the day, everyone's trying to hit one target, trying to hit the target. It's the target that matters. Lots of arrows, but one target. And for us as a family, I'm talking church family, our target is getting our arrows to heaven. That's the target. The target, no matter if it's the arrow of ADHD, if it's the honor roll target, if it's the struggling to pass a grade arrow, if it's the redheaded arrow, if it's the brunette arrow, if it's the really tall, skinny arrow, if it's the little arrow, all of these arrows that we have in our quiver called our kids and grandkids, one target. We got to get them to heaven. We have to help them love the Lord. We got to help them serve God. In the Old Testament, there's a ruler named Joshua. And Joshua was coming into leadership and saying, I am going to lead differently than those from behind me. He goes, I'm going to make sure that we love the Lord and we serve the Lord. And see, that wasn't always the case. They were serving other things. They were going after their target. They had different targets, different gods and different idols and all these little things that they were going after. Their arrows were going 100 different directions. And Joshua shows up and says one thing. He goes, I want my family to have one specific target. In fact, this is what he writes. He says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you're going to serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in the land that we now live? But then this is what he says. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He's like, for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. All of his arrows, he's like, they have one target. They're going to serve the Lord. They're going to know God. They're going to faithfully follow God. And your little arrows at home, they may have different personalities, and they may have different skills, and they may have different hobbies, and they may get different grades, and some of them are on the dean's list, and some of them are in the principal's office. but we still have one target for them. And we need to have the mentality that when I raise my kids, we're able to say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of us meaning Americans and people here today and watching today, we answer that a little differently. For me and my house, we will, what's your target? What is it? For me and my house, we will what? Well, we will be a camping family. For me and my house, we will be a soccer family. For me and my house, we will get a scholarship to school through hours and hours and hours of this sport. For me and my house, we will be wealthy. And for me and my house, we will be focused on this. And there's a lot of different targets, whether we're willing to admit it or not. There's a part of us, if you just look at our time and just look at our passions, we really would answer a little bit differently than for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are serving other things. And what happens is your arrows are going a lot of different directions and we've not let the home know. We've not let our kids know. We've not let our grandkids know. We have one target. We can do those other things. It's okay to have the dance and have the cheerleading and to play a sport and to be on this team or to be involved in this extracurricular activity. Those are okay. But for me and my house, our number one target, the bullseye is God. The bullseye is relationship with Jesus. The bullseye is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just want to see it one more time. For it's me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Can you say that today? Can you say that today? The third thing I want us to understand is arrows extend your reach. That's right. Arrows go beyond anything that you can do. So when we think about our arrows, we think about our family, we think about our kids, realize the arrows in our quiver will go much further than we'll ever go. Their potential is huge. They can go beyond where you can go. This is what he sums up the psalm by saying this. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gate. The funny thing about that, he's a warrior holding arrows in his hand. Okay, that's the picture Solomon writes. But then he says this, he's not going to be put to shame when there's an enemy at the gate beyond where he's at. Why? Because when you're an archer, your arrow can go beyond where you're at. In this particular time period, archers were hard to come by. In fact, the Romans were going and collecting archers from all other different regions because they were warriors. They didn't have guns back then. They didn't have bazookas and rocket launchers and GPS-guided missiles. If you wanted to attack your enemy at a longer distance, you had archers because arrows go beyond where you're currently at. And our kids are going to go beyond where we're currently at. And so we have to invest in them. We have to have the mentality of fly, arrow, fly. Get where you can go. Go beyond where I've ever been. Our children can go further than you and I have ever gone. But we have to invest in them. And we have to lead them beyond where we're at. We have to guide them beyond where we've gone ourselves. Abraham's the father of faith. And if you've read through the Old Testament, you know there's this father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons did father Abraham. You know, come on, now sing with me. No, don't sing with me. But Father Abraham wasn't quite a father when he was doubting God, saying, what about my faith? And he's ready to do something for God, but he didn't have a son. And God took him out and showed him the skies. I'm going to read you this. It says this, the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. We are here today because of Abraham. Because of Abraham's kids and his kids' kids and his kids' kids' kids and the generations that followed Abraham. We are Christians and following Jesus today, right where you sit, because of Abraham. because his kids went further than he could go, and his kids' kids went further, and his kids' kids' kids went further. And you and I were actually descendants of Abraham. And I want us to imagine our kids and take a, even close your eyes and picture your kids and go, man, what can they become? Who can they impact? What kind of difference can they make? You know, one of the core values here at the Fields Church is to make a difference. What kind of difference can our kids make? My parents, in these last couple weeks and prepping for the funeral, we just kept hearing over and over, me and my sister, was like, we're just so proud of our kids. Me and my sister, we were able to accomplish some things, and we were a part of some things that my parents never did at our age. Places we've traveled, things that we've done. But they've instilled those into us. They instilled leadership into us. They instilled traits and values and work ethic into us that we were able to build on top of what my mom and dad put into us. And my sister and I have just kind of, we just continue to bloom and blossom, and my parents are as proud as can be. But I don't just pause there and go, oh, look what we've done. No, I look at my kids and go, I can't wait to see what they do. This last week, I was at National Honor Society in Mattoon, and my son Dakota was getting inducted in National Honor Society. Now, in 1993, when I graduated from high school, I just dated myself there. So when I was in high school, Joy, my lovely wife, was in NHS, National Honor Society too. But I was not. I didn't have good enough grades. I really messed up my freshman year. My GPA was too low, and I couldn't get into NHS. And you're going to love this or hate this. When Joy went to go do the ceremony and we were dating, I would not go. I did not go to Joy's ceremony to be inducted into NHS because I was ashamed of myself. I was jealous, and I didn't even want to sit there in the bleachers and watch my friends get into the National Honor Society when I couldn't get there. Fast forward to just this last week. Now I'm in the bleachers watching my son already accomplish something that I couldn't do. All three of my boys have been on missions trips way before I ever even thought about going on a missions trip. I can't wait to see what God does through my family. I can't wait to see the future that God has for them. Listen to this. Read this with me. Don't focus on the current place your kids are in. Focus on the potential. So your kids right now, you might be going, you don't know my kid. They're not in that place. My kid's in trouble. My kid doesn't pray. My kid doesn't believe. My kid. And you're looking at the current place. Don't focus on the current place. Focus on the potential. Focus on the potential. Because when you and I pour into our kids, the potential can be awesome. Let's read this together. Our children can go farther than we could ever go. We can push them to greater things as we saturate them in an atmosphere of faith, asking God to move through them in power. When we saturate them in faith, God can move through them in power. Listen, today you've been introduced to parenting through some imagery that's a little different. It's the imagery of war, a warrior, arrows, fight. I want you to know that. I want you to know this is a battle, and that we get the opportunity to think about arrows in the hands of a warrior, and that our quiver could be full, and there's a battle in front of us. Can we change our mindset of raising family today? Can we take on what Joshua said when he says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord? Can that be our commitment this morning? For me and my family, my arrows are going to hit the target. My arrows are going to serve God. My arrows are going to have relationship with Jesus. We want our families and our home to serve the Lord. Well, guess what? That starts with us. Me, you, we have to serve God. Let's begin there. Close your eyes with me for a moment. Just close your eyes. Think about this. Ask yourself, Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Am I serving him today? How can I ever help my family hit that target if I'm not? Ask yourself, God, am I off target or am I on target? Because some of us in the room need to realign ourselves, get our aim ready, and start heading toward the bullseye named Jesus. And when we get our lives in alignment with God, then we can help our family get in alignment with God. Let's pray together.